I missed, I think, a couple of announcements that I wanted to make. Sister Lindsay Hargrove left yesterday on her mission trip to Nicaragua, and Sister Michelle confirmed that she arrived safely, and they're beginning a week-long effort there of medical as well as Vacation Bible School and other things they're doing in that community. So let's be prayerful throughout the week for not only Lindsay, but the others that have gone on this trip with them, that they'll have a successful trip and a safe return back home. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer that I failed to mention. I know this is June. Christmas isn't until December, but I'm assuming we've got animals booked. So we're going to do our live nativity on Saturday, whenever that date schedule is. But also, there's some interest in having a Christmas cantata on Sunday. So if anybody is interested in being a part of that, if you'll sign the sign-up sheet, we'll determine if there's enough people to do that. So, you know, that's that. Anything else on your hearts before I get to the Word? Take your Bibles, if you brought them, I hope you did, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where I want to read from this morning, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 6. And this is what we find. Now these things were our examples. These things were our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, referring back to earlier Hebrew history. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And we remember that as they were going through the wilderness and they came to Moses and he lifted up a serpent of brass, and if they would look upon it, they were healed. But many of them did not and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I want to stop there with my scripture reading. I'm going to take my text from the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 12. And in James chapter 1 and verse 12 it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You may have figured out what my message is about today. The title of my message today is Temptation. And, you know, what is temptation? You know, temptation is it's a pull. Temptation is a lure. Temptation is an enticement, or it's a persuasion to do something or to be involved in something or even to not do something. Brother Jim, in his devotional this morning, he said that he was tempted this morning. And that his temptation was he was tempted to stay home and not come to church. But his desire to be here was greater than the temptation that he was facing. And here he is today, and we're glad he's here. I was tempted this week as well. I went to Walmart. And while I was in Walmart, you know, I usually do the self-checkout. And as I was going toward the self-checkout there, it's like a gauntlet that you have to go through. And on both sides of me, there's candy bars, and there's potato chips, and there's beef jerky, chapstick if you need it, and some other things. And, you know, they look good. But I resisted the temptation and got up to the self-checkout machine. And guess what they got there? Right behind the self-checkout machines, they got all kinds of stuff again. And all of that stuff that's there, you know, you ever taken anything to put and buy and go out with? I have. Sometimes I couldn't withstand the temptation and had to have a candy bar or something. The stores do that on purpose. They do that because they want to tempt you to buy that stuff. It's called impulse buying. And so all that food is there before you. And if you ever notice, there's nothing really high priced there. You're not going to find, you know, a television set or something like that there. It's all that little stuff that you say, well, that's not so bad. I need that. I need that. So you go ahead and you put it in the cart and you get it. I'm sure I'm not the only one. We've probably all done it. We've been tempted by those things, and sometimes we've overcome it and sometimes we haven't. I'm tempted other times when I go to the restaurant and go to the buffet. You know, all that food that's laid out there. No, I'm not preaching on food today, but stay with me. It's on my mind, apparently. But anyway, you go to the buffet, you know you don't need all that stuff. You don't need it all. But it's there. And it's included in the price. So it's kind of like when we have a dinner downstairs. You start at one end of the table and you go to the other end of the table. And what happens by the time you get to the other end of the table? Your plate's full and you don't have room for the stuff at the other end of the table. Because you filled up on stuff on the front of the table. And but it's the same way when you go there. You're tempted to eat it. And Dawn gets upset with me sometimes because if I go to a buffet, whatever the price is, I feel like I'm being cheated or that I'm being ripped off if I don't go back for a second plate. You know, like I didn't get my money's worth. That's the whole benefit of going to a buffet so that you can get all of that stuff. And then, of course, what happens is, it puts everybody in danger. My buttons start to stretch, and anybody could be in the shot of a button that pops off or something. I don't know. But you may not think about it, but those are types of temptations. All of those things are temptations. They might seem harmless. And I guess what I'm trying to say is some temptations that we face are harmless. But there are temptations that are so much worse and that are so much darker. And we face them every single day. Last Wednesday in our Bible study, we talked about the works of the flesh as they were described in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Those verses that we read, I'm not going to turn over and read them, but those verses that we had shared, they described many things that we are tempted with in this life. Every one of us has been tempted by one or more of the things that are listed in that portion of God's Word. It might be a sexual temptation in some or in many different forms. It might be drinking. It might be drugs. It might be pornography. It could be any list of things that's listed of those temptations. And it covers every aspect of life. And it's a daily battle. It's truly a daily battle. Paul expressed the reason in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." I want you to understand that Paul's not saying that these forces are equal. They're not equal. The Holy Spirit that indwells in us is infinitely stronger than the flesh. But we are weak in the flesh. And if we rely on our own wisdom, if we rely on our own judgments, many times we will make the wrong choice. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to withstand the temptations that come upon us in this life. So I want you to think with me this morning, how do we handle temptations? How do we handle them? How do we react when something is right in front of you that you know that you should avoid? How do we handle that? The people of the church of Corinth, they were faced with temptation too. And it must have been a question that was so much on their mind that the Apostle Paul decided that he needed to address this issue of temptation in people's lives. What do you do about temptations? What causes us to fall into temptations? And as Paul writes about temptations, he first mentions the problems that the Israelites had in the Old Testament. Most of their problems were caused because they gave into the temptation. So what I first want us to understand is, and I'll talk more about it later, is we don't have to succumb, or in other words, we don't have to give in to temptations. We can overcome them, we can avoid them, and not have to suffer because of them. So Paul, as he's pointing out these causes of the Israelites falling into temptation, his message to them and his message to us today is that these same causes, they can result or they can cause us to fall into temptation as well. And I think that's why he addressed this with all of them. When I was looking at this, the first thing that I noticed for Israel, the first cause of temptation was their impatience. Anybody deal with that? These people, they were dealing with impatience. God delivered the Israelites out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Why did he do that? Well, if you turn over in that book of Exodus and read it, you'll see that he did it because the cries of the people came up to him. And he heard their cries. And he seen their affliction that they were in. And he saw that they were begging him for deliverance. If you're familiar with that and you know the history, God heard their prayers. Not only did he hear their prayers, but he answered their prayers. He did something about it when their pleas came up before him. We know that he led them out of Egyptian bondage. We know that they were led through the desert, and he assured them that there was a destination in sight. They weren't just going to be wandering out in the desert. He was taking them to the promised land that he had promised unto them. And we know that through the teachings of the scriptures, they eventually got there. He eventually did what he said that he was going to do for them. But we also know that the ones that were delivered initially from Egypt, they never saw the promised land, did they? Why not? Because they got impatient with God. They got impatient with God. They wanted the promise of God now. And God didn't seem to be working according to their timetable. You ever been there? You ever thought the same thing? So they decided that they were going to take matters into their own hands. And their impatience led them into temptation. And their temptations destroyed them. And they didn't, those 20 and over did not make it into the promised land because of their lack of faith and their impatience that they had with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our temptation is often caused by impatience too. We've been there. We've done the same things. I want you to look at impatience in this context. Impatient means we're not willing to wait for God's best. We're not willing to wait for God's best. We see something we want. We see someone we want. We think it's something that we need. That thing or that person is what we believe is going to satisfy us. And we don't have the patience to wait on God. We want what we want, and we want it now. We don't want to wait for what might come later. We don't want to wait on God to provide what we really need. So we get impatient, and we react. We fall for the temptation, and we suffer the consequences of our choice instead of waiting on God. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, he said, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Kids, I know sometimes it's hard to You want to be with the in crowd. You want to be with the popular kids. And I know sometimes it's hard to fight off the enticements, and it's hard to fight off the persuasions that your friends might be tempting you to do wrong, to be a part of them, and to do what they're doing. I understand wanting to be accepted, but if you're not careful, I want you to understand this morning that those actions might lead you to trouble. So you got to be careful who you're around. You got to be careful what they want you to do. You've got to use the good sense that your mom and dad taught you and that God gave you, and to avoid those tempting situations. I remember growing up many times being in those situations, being with friends and going to a store, and they wanted something at the store, but they didn't want to pay for it. And they tried to encourage and entice me to do the same thing. You know that's wrong. But you got to fight through the temptation and do the right thing. And many other things in life that we find that we feel ourselves being pressured to do or influenced. We got to proceed with caution. The other thing that Paul was talking about here was temptation that Israel faced was one of indulgence. And as the Israelites came out of Egypt, they faced many different people. They faced many different cultures and practices that those people had. Many of those cultures, they were immoral people. They thought nothing wrong of doing immoral things. God had forbid the Israelites to get involved in those immoral practices. He forbid them about intermarrying. He forbid them about idol worship. But the Israelites, they were tempted by the idea of quick pleasure. And, you know, we are a people of instant gratification, aren't we? And of wanting what they wanted then, as I said a moment ago. The other people around them, they were ready, they were willing, and so they fell for the temptations. They participated in the things that God had forbid. They indulged in the customs and the practices of these other cultures against the instructions of God. Our temptations, brothers and sisters, is oftentimes caused by indulgence as well. Indulgent means that we're not fulfilled by God's best. I think about that, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, what was God's best? God's best was His Son, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. God's best was forgiveness for our sins, that we might be saved. God's best was our assurance of a home in heaven that He has prepared for us. How could that not fulfill us, brothers and sisters? How could that not satisfy us? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord said, He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken," or in other words, "I will hear unto you." Now, the problem that we need to understand and face is that the problem is the natural. The problem is the fleshly desires that we have of these bodies for all of these things that we are being tempted with. The problem is we have a powerful adversary who the Bible tells us he's a liar and he is a deceiver and he is a tempter, and he'll dangle everything imaginable before you to tempt you to sin. We have to know that. And we have to realize that. Look, we know there are things in this life that we should not do. We know that there are things in this life that we should not participate in. We know that there are things in this life that we should not partake of. There are things we might normally walk away from. But you see, many times it's in that moment of weakness, isn't it? That moment of weakness. We see the opportunity for something quick, that we expect brings pleasure. We're looking for that quick satisfaction. So we jump in. And then we suffer the consequence. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we know that the moment that we surrender to the temptation, it becomes sin. It's not sin while we're being tempted because we haven't participated. We haven't surrendered. We haven't given into it. But the moment that we give in to the temptation, that's when it becomes sin. And the pleasures that we expect out of the things that temptation brings upon us that we surrender and submit to, they never last. They never bring lasting pleasure or lasting happiness. But what they do bring is lasting guilt that we live with as a result of it. We need to be as strong and we need to be as courageous as James was when he said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." That's what we need to always do. Submit yourselves therefore to God. He said, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." That's what we want. That's what the result we want to be when the temptation comes. That we submit ourselves to God. We go to Him. We ask Him to help us in that moment. We resist Satan. And as the Scripture says, he'll flee from us. Paul, as he was addressing the temptations that they faced, Paul talked about their grumbling. The Israelites were world-class grumblers. You can read the accounts throughout the Word of God as they grumbled. It seems that they were never happy with anything. They weren't happy with the food that was being provided with them, to them. They weren't happy with the food that they were receiving. Nothing was good. So they set out to get the good themselves. And that didn't work out too well for them either. Brothers and sisters, our temptation is often caused by grumbling too. The definition for grumbling that I want to share with you this morning is we're not happy with God's best. We're not happy with God's best. We start out feeling that what we have is not making us happy. Feeling that what we have is not enough. But that is our human nature, isn't it? You know, you're working at a job and they're working you hard and all of a sudden, things were great. You're happy to have a job. What do you know? Next thing you know, you're grumbling. Because what? You don't make enough money. So maybe you go to your boss and you say, "Hey, I feel like I'm doing a good job and I need a raise." And he gives you the raise. How long is it again before you start grumbling again and you're saying, I'm not making enough. I want more. It's that way with everything in life. You know, when Dawn and I got married, we wanted a house. And, you know, we were blessed to be able to get a house when we first got married. And it was a good house. It was a nice house. But pretty soon, it wasn't a big enough house. She didn't want to share one bathroom with three boys. And so we moved on up. And we got a house that had two bathrooms. And, you know, that's the way it is. We're never satisfied. Those of you that drive cars, you know, it's great when you got a brand new car, but you know what? It don't take long before you start grumbling again. Well, that car's several years old, and, you know, I'm starting to have to make repairs on that car, and, you know, I think I deserve another new car, and you'll go out and you'll get a new car. I guess what I'm trying to say is Satan tempts us in all those ways. It's not just the sexual sin or the alcohol or the drugs. It's everything that's around us in life that he can use to create, to cause us to be disgruntled, to cause us to complain. That's what his goal is. And all of these causes of temptation, they stem really from idolatry. Idolatry comes in many forms. Idolatry is worshiping someone or something other than God. And some worship themselves more than they worship God. It's evident. Look at the empty seats that we got today. How they're worshiping themselves more than they're worshiping God. Worshiping the Lord. They come first, not the Lord. Too many want to be the one to be satisfied. But who is the one that should be satisfied? The Lord. Our desire ought to be to satisfy the Lord with our lives, just like he wanted from the children of Israel. The end result is if we fall into all kinds of temptations, we do because we're convinced that we're the one who deserves it all. And we're not the one who deserves it all. The Lord is the one who deserves it all. He paid the greatest price ever. And he is deserving of everything. So Paul, he gives the Corinthians a truth concerning temptations. And the Word of God gives us this truth today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you're still there. Verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But listen, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye be able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Thank you, Lord. What a blessing that is. What does this verse teach us about temptations? It teaches us, first of all, that we will all face temptations. Not a single one of us that's sitting here this morning is immune to temptations. It's a part of living in this sinful, fallen world that we live in. And all of us share the same temptations. I want to be clear about that. I'm not talking about the exact same temptation that may come our way. There are many that are similar, but what I'm trying to say is we all face a temptation, but they may look a little bit different. But they all have the same root. The root of wanting to satisfy ourselves above everything else. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful to us even in temptation. I'm sure glad he's on my side. I'm sure glad I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure glad that I'm never alone, that God hasn't left us alone in our temptations. He is there. And he's always provides a way for us to avoid falling into temptation. There's always a way out. And so how do we avoid? How do we avoid falling into these temptations? Well, I think the most basic answer is by placing God's ways above our ways. I guess that's the most simplest way I can state it. Place God's ways, God's desires above what ours are. Don't make yourself the object of worship. Make God the object of worship. Set out to satisfy God instead of trying to satisfy yourself. Commit yourself to making God the center of everything in your life. That's what he wants. What do you want? Look for a way out. You know, temptations are to come. Temptations come from the desires that are within us. God doesn't tempt anybody. It doesn't come from the Lord. The Bible says that God provides a way out for every temptation. When the temptation comes, take your eyes off the temptation. Look for the door. Look for the door. I know that when I was in sales, I've told you the story many times. I was in the automotive business, and back in those days, in my before life, it was a male-dominated industry. It was male-dominated. And while I was in that industry, you know, we got all the equal rights things and all of that, and I'm okay with that. But the command came down that I had to hire two women. And so, you know, I began the search and found what I thought was some qualified women, and I hired them. And then I tried to train them and to teach them. And I was naive in a lot of things. You know, we'd go into a warehouse distributor's warehouse to put on a sales meeting. And so I would be in my suit and tie, and she'd be in her dress. And we'd go in, and I'd say, "Well, do you want to see our product on the shelf?" And she'd say, "Sure." And I'd say, "Well, it's up in the mezzanine there." And I'd start up the steps, and I wouldn't hear anybody coming behind me. And I'd look around, and I'd say, "Are you coming?" And she says, "I'm wearing a dress, if you know what a mezzanine is." And I said, "Oh, okay." And at night, when we would be at the hotel, and we had to put presentation binders together. Mind you, I'm in Michigan in the middle of winter. And it's like, "Come down to the room, and we'll put the presentation binders together." And she'd come down, and my door would be open. And she says, you want me to close the door? And I said, nope, it's hot in here. We need some cool air in here. It wasn't hot in there. It was freezing. But again, I didn't want to place myself in a temptation. I didn't want to put myself in an awkward situation where in a moment of temptation or a moment of weakness, I would be involved in something that I would be sorry for. So whenever we are confronted with these temptations, we need to remember that God is there. He'll help us to overcome and avoid whatever the temptation is. And praise God for that. He provides a way out for every temptation. And we can overcome any temptation that we face. Again, we've got to look to Him. He's the one that we've got to put our faith and trust in. He's the one that we've got to center our lives around. And we've got to look to what God wants for us. I said look for the open door, didn't I? Well, run. Run. As soon as the temptation comes, run. You're not strong enough to face it down on your own. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. But God knows how to deliver you. He knows how to deliver you. And look for that and find that door. My text verse in James 1 and 12 again said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. We can say blessed is the woman that endureth temptation. That's what it refers to, both. For when he or she is tried, he or she shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. God's crown of life is not honor and glory here on this earth. We're not looking for honor and glory here on this earth, but the reward is eternal life. The reward is living in all of eternity with Him forever. Some of us, I'll include myself, some of us probably have failed. Some of us probably have fallen many times because we could not or did not withstand the temptation that we were faced with. What do you do now? Well, the answer is you run back to God. The answer is you follow the instructions of God. 1 John 1 and 9, where we confess our sins, is where we come before the Lord and we lay ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We recommit to Him. We recommit to the ways of the Lord. We give Him back the throne of our life. We make Him king of our life again. When we can do that, we'll find fulfillment. We'll find happiness in the Lord's best. We'll be able to overcome temptation instead of temptation overcoming you. I guess in closing this morning, I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't let Satan dim your light. That's his goal. In temptation, his goal is to dim your light. The Bible says to do what? Let your light shine. Satan wants to dim your light. How does he dim your light? How does he affect your influence? How does he affect your life? By throwing temptations at your feet on a daily basis, trying to get you to succumb to just one. It only takes one to ruin our influence. We just have to be on guard, and we've got to be strong, and we've got to trust the Lord. That's my prayer today for myself and for all of you. Like I said, you know, going through the grocery store, that may not seem much of a temptation, and, you know, the effects of what that temptation will cause, you know, are minimal. But it's still a temptation. Sometimes being in a group of people, a conversation can go in a wrong direction and it can lead to something that really wasn't meant or shouldn't have been. And again, there's a problem. There's all kinds of situations we find ourselves in. But brothers and sisters, don't let Satan dim your light. Let your light shine for Jesus. If you're going through a situation right now, if you're being tempted right now, this message I know God gave to me because somebody needed to hear it. Maybe it was me, but maybe it's someone out here this morning that's being tempted, trying to be lured, trying to be persuaded to do something. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. And you know where you can get your strength from. Can't do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to fight it off. And I want you to know today that you can. That's my message. Any word on anyone's heart? We're going to have a handshake in just a moment. But anything on your heart before we get to that? If not, Emily is here today. Dreimaker, am I saying that right? Emily Dreimaker is here with us today, and she joined our church several weeks back, and we sent off for her letter, and we have received her letter, and so we want to have a handshake with her and have fellowship with her and welcome her into our church with all rights and privileges. So I'm going to ask her if she would to come up, and I'll just say this. Before we have the handshake, Will, if you'll come and lead us a song. Since we're going to have a handshake anyway, there might be